It seems that wherever I go, wherever I am, hospitals, nursing homes, classrooms at schools, doctor's offices, the courthouse, hospice house, wherever I go, I see Asbury-ans at work, in service, making a difference. And if I don't actually see you, I see your footprint. Flowers left in a hospital room, a meal in someone's kitchen, a sympathy card in a living room. Some of you are retired, but are busier than ever, delivering food for Meals on Wheels, serving on the boards of agencies and organizations like the Wesley Community Centers, the Citizens Advocacy, the Humane Society, the United Way, Savannah Center for the Blind and Low Vision. And here at the church, you have been leading Bible studies, helping in the church office, helping in the nursery, serving on the hospitality team, or with the flower ministry, or at Vacation Bible School. You are amazing. You do so much. Others of you, some of you want to do more. You wish you had the time and energy to do more, but your day is full trying to raise children, trying to hold down a job, trying to pay the mortgage, trying to keep the family together. All that everyone is doing is very important and admirable. And I know that sometimes it seems a bit overwhelming and the results seem a bit underwhelming. That sometimes we feel like we're just spinning our wheels trying to make a difference but not making a difference. It feels like we're not helping to create the kingdom of God, and that can be discouraging. I imagine that the early Christians felt even more discouraged, for they were ridiculed and persecuted for what they were doing. But they thought they could do it, they could handle it, because after all, Jesus would be coming back soon, in their lifetime. And things would be better. But the persecution continued. And still, there was no Jesus, no coming kingdom. Apparently, they misunderstood him, or the Apostle Paul, or whoever had taught them about the coming of the kingdom of God. It is in this context that the writer of the Gospel of Mark makes sure to include two parables that Jesus told that are meant to be a source of encouragement for these early Christians. And I think these parables can be a source of encouragement for us too. The kingdom of God is what the world would be like if God was king, right? A place of peace, of love, of justice. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is already here. And he taught that it is also something that is coming, that is not already here. Pretty confusing, eh? Well, with all the chaos and violence and poverty in our world, it's easy to see that the kingdom of God is not here. Especially for those who are downtrodden and the oppressed, those who are abused and powerless. I mean, those are the ones Jesus especially stood up for. I have no idea what possessed the Attorney General to pull out the Bible and quote a passage from Romans to try to rationalize the separating of young children from their parents. I don't usually talk about particular politicians, individuals, but when the Bible is used by one of them to rationalize hurting people, a minister wouldn't be doing his or her job if they didn't say something about it. According to the Attorney General, the text seems to suggest that everyone should do whatever the government tells them to do. That's pretty scary, folks. The Attorney General needs to realize that the main job of the prophets was to go against what the government was telling them to do, to speak out against the government's unjust laws. He needs to realize that thousands and thousands of Christians have been killed in order to stand up against unjust laws. He needs to realize that's why Jesus was killed. The Attorney General needs to realize that he's reading other people's mail. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, never dreaming that other people would be reading it 2,000 years later. It was written to a specific group at a specific time for a specific reason. Passages like this can be easily distorted to support someone's position. In fact, this very same passage was used to try to support slavery and Nazism. According to how the Attorney General wants people to interpret this passage, we should have never done anything to prevent Hitler. The point is, it's pretty obvious that the kingdom of God is not here on earth, that we need to keep praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because it sure ain't here yet. And yet, Jesus says, it is happening. That it is in process. He says, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and then would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. Yet he does not know how. That our job is to plant seeds and leave the rest to God. Our job is to do what we feel we are called to do and then hand it over to God. Don't worry about having all of the answers. Don't worry about solving all of the world's problems. Just do your part and leave the rest to God. And then Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The mustard seed that Jesus was talking about was actually almost more like what we think of as a weed. Mustard can be incredibly hard to control. The seed is so very, very small. But once it takes root, it can take over an entire area. And that's why mustard would rarely be found in a garden in the ancient world. More likely, you would see it overtaking a hillside or an abandoned field. It would be like our ivy, which seems to grow and grow and grow, reaching its vines everywhere. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that. We just have to plant the seed. Our minister of music, Ray Ellis, has taught music and drama in the public school system for many years. For many years, he taught in Hinesville, and for many years, he has been teaching in Effingham County. Now, think about how many young people's lives Ray has touched through music, through drama, through his personal relationships. Think about how many seeds he has scattered. Think how many people Ray has touched through his music over the years here at Asbury. And it all started with a little seed, a tiny, tiny seed named Ray. If I had thought about it, I should have gotten Ray's mother to send me a picture or two of little Ray. And we could have flashed it on the screen for you. We'll just have to use our imagination. But no one could have known. No one could have known. Well, it appears the screens are coming down. So maybe we do have a picture or two of this little seed named Ray, who was planted and raised by Dolores and Ray Ellis. Let's see, do we have him? There he is. We'd know that smile anywhere, wouldn't we? There he is again. He still likes to wear that little red jumpsuit. Now, this next picture is when they knew that, Ray, this might be a little different. I'm not going to try to guess what he's doing there. Oh, this was Ray's first acting role. He was either a shepherd or he had a very bad head injury. And then Ray, by the way, went through a period of time when he got very, very serious and pensive. During this time, they would call him, during these years, Professor Ellis. Yes. Now, when Ray first started learning to play the piano, he thought he was also supposed to use his head when playing. But then he learned to sit up straight and just use his hands. And he started playing so well, in fact, that unfortunately, he started getting a very big head. His parents, Roy and Dolores, were really worried about him during this time, but they kept nurturing him and working with him. And finally, he started coming around and looking like his old self. And they said, maybe one day our son will find a job that is perfect for him. He did find a perfect job and a perfect church for him. What can we say? It was preordained for him to be at Asbury. But it all started with a little seed raised by Dolores and Roy Ellis. On this Father's Day, we remember that some of the most important seeds that we scatter are our children. That as we invest in them and nurture them, these mustard seeds will grow and grow and touch thousands of lives, as Ray has. And these seeds don't have to be your own children, folks. My father died when I was 4 years old, but there were a lot of men in my life who took me under their wing. There were men at my church. There were teachers and coaches and ministers who became father figures for me, mentors. So know that you are sowing mustard seeds whenever you are helping a young person. And know that you can scatter seeds at any age. As long as you are breathing oxygen on this planet, you can scatter seeds that grow into creating the kingdom of God. One of the persons who our flowers are dedicated to this morning is Ellie Gagne. Ellie moved to Savannah to be closer to her daughter Julie and friend Joan. We've enjoyed having Ellie worship with us, but the last several months, she's been going through a rough time, has been struggling a lot with her memory. So as is common when we start getting up in age. So she hasn't been with us for a while. I visited Ellie a couple of months ago at Julie and Joan's house, brought her communion. Ellie was very close to the minister. That was where she used to live, and her mind was playing tricks on her, and she actually thought I was him, and that was okay. I went with it because it seemed to mean so much to her that he had traveled there to come see her. And since then, Ellie has needed to move into assisted living due to her health. She now lives at Savannah Commons, and so I went to see her at her new digs this week and brought her communion. And This time she knew who I was, or at least she knew what church I came from. As I prepared to have communion with her, Ellie's occupational therapist walked into the room, a woman named Judy. Ellie said to her, "This is my minister." I introduced myself to Judy, and as we talked, she mentioned that she had been a lifelong Methodist. I really wasn't going to say much more about me or the church. The last thing people need is to have a minister telling them all about themselves and their church. But then Ellie spoke up and said to Judy, "It is a wonderful church. I love it. There is a woman there who wears wonderful hats." Then she said, "There is a man who likes to wear hats too there." She said, "I like him. We get along well together. It's a great church." I told you Ellie knew what church I was from. Ellie, of course, was talking about Claire Knight, who usually sat close to where Ellie sat. And she was talking, of course, about David Grice. David and Claire are our two main hat wearers. And by the way, David, unfortunately, is under the weather today and is not here. But in their wonderful, stylish ways, Claire and David come to church to worship and fellowship with others. And in that very act, they are planting, sowing seeds. For here is a woman in Ellie who is struggling with holding on to her memories. But Claire and David have given her something to hold on to, something to remember, and it made her feel good. She remembered that she experienced a place of love, welcome, and comfort. You see, we have no idea when we are planting seeds. I asked Judy, the occupational therapist, if she would like to receive communion with us, and she said she would. So the three of us shared three small wafers and three small cups of grape juice. I then packed up the communion element so I could leave and let Ellie have her time with Judy. I wanted to tell Judy more about our church, but I knew I shouldn't tell Judy more about our church. But I said to her, "I'd like to give you a book." So I went back to my car where I keep a few wow moment books for occasions like this. I got the book and went back to the room. And before I extended my hand to give Judy the book, she said, "You all have piqued my interest. I want to come visit your church." What I really believe piqued Judy's interest was an elderly woman who is losing some memories, but still has the ability to remember the love she felt at this place. And I think Judy must have been thinking what I was thinking as Ellie spoke to us. Wow, if this woman who is struggling with her memories is struggling with her memories but can communicate the love that she feels at her church, it must be a pretty amazing place. And what I am thinking is that here is an elderly woman losing her capacity to think, yet is able to still sow seeds. And with her seeds, God does great things. Even at Savannah Commons, and maybe especially at Savannah Commons. So as Christians, we live not so much in an optimism that thinks we can fix everything. We live out of the hope born of confidence that we are simply called to participate in what God is doing in the world. That is why we find flashes of brilliant hope and the promise of a greater day to come. They may only be little flashes, but they are nevertheless powerful epiphanies. They happen here and there in longed-for reconciliation within families and among friends. They happen in healing from illness and grief. In the decisions by a community that places its most vulnerable members at the top of its agenda rather than at the bottom. It happens in the sharing and the release of grudges. It happens in the desires to end war and seek peace. It happens in the breaking of bread and the nourishment of our souls and our bodies. It happens in giving voice to the voiceless and lifting up the hopes of those in despair. And it happens in a room at Savannah Commons. We see the mysterious ways of God. It may begin in smallness, in small steps and small hopes, but the path, Jesus says, leads to greatness, a greatness we cannot see or even imagine today. God can see it, and God can imagine it. And most of all, I think God intends it. The tiny little seed grows into the greatest of all, the mustard tree, strong and great enough to offer shelter and goodness and the stuff of life for those who need to find a home. You are one of the things that gives me hope. As through your tireless labor, the kingdom is seeping into the hearts and lives of the people who look to you. Thank you for that and for so much else that you do. You know, it is often said that a seed never gets to see the flower. Well, sometimes, thankfully, we do. Sometimes we get to see some of the fruit that our seeds bear. But more often than not, it takes more time. And we don't get to see what blessings comes from our sowing. But know that God will do amazing things with your seeds. And so I encourage you to continue to scatter them. Let them go. And let God do the rest. Amen and amen.